somebody go to Ireland this month?
Ireland? What's going on?
My daughter's leaving for Ireland Wednesday.
Oh, wow. To live or just to visit?
Just to meet three others there. I've been praying.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
A little scary, huh?
Yeah, we better keep her in prayer. Traveling anywhere in the world from America now is a little bit, you know.
Yeah, it's a little iffy.
Yeah, yeah. There's
now,
so.
They're all going individual times. They're
yeah.
Going together.
Yeah. Well, Ireland, they've had a lot of, as you all know, they've had a lot of conflict and terrorism over the years in Ireland, bombings and whatnot. So we need to keep Carol's daughter in prayer for that. Well, hymn 34, let's stand for our final hymn prior to the message this morning. Hymn 34, and let's sing the first, second, and fourth. Higher ground. That's all we need.
We're sing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's stable land. Plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these are bound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on Him. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I'm found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on Him.
Yes! Praise the Lord. Please be seated, church. That's what we're aiming for each and every day. We're not going backward, we're going forward and upward. Amen? In Jesus' name. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's grab our Bibles this morning and open up to John's Gospel, final chapter. Chapter 21 of John's Gospel. And great testimonies this morning. Such a blessing to see the way the Lord is working in each of our lives and sharing that with the brethren. Amen. It's a blessing to tell folks what the Lord is doing in your life. I've got a short letter to read to you prior to the message in John 21. For those of you who don't get email, I sent this out Friday to the church. Dearly beloved church family, I have been wanting to write this short letter to you all for a few months now, but the Lord has confirmed to me that now is the time. First of all, let me say what a joy it is to be serving the great King with all of you in these last days. I truly love the great services we've been enjoying lately with the sweet presence of the Lord in our midst. And now, with all of these incredible events seemingly converging upon this world for the month of September, I have been led of the Lord to call for a fast. A solemn fast, where we will seek the Lord's face like never before. It's going to be a 7-day fast. I myself have never made it past 6 days fasting, but someone in our church has, whom I won't name, but may seek her advice on how to make it. Listen, church, we are heading into a time of gross darkness in this world, a time of unprecedented evil, where wickedness shall abound all around us. And as God's believing people in this world, we are bound to to seek God's face for the lost, and to pray like never before that He will grant repentance and salvation to many souls before it's too late. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward Him. And if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and repent of their sin and seek my face, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. So, beloved family, beginning this Sunday night, that's tonight, at 9 o'clock, for all of you who are able and willing to join me, we will embark upon a 7-day fast, wherein we will rein in the coming month of September. I am asking for us to fast and pray and seek the Lord's face for 3 specific things. First, that He would use each of us to bring precious lost souls into the kingdom of God through soul winning in this next period of time. Second, that He would send genuine spirit-filled revival upon America. And third, that He would continue to keep, by His grace, every one of us faithful and obedient to His cause. Beloved, as much as lieth in me, constrains me to exhort and encourage each of you to pray about this and to seriously get ready to seek the God of heaven on the behalf of all those who so desperately need Him. I love you all and look forward to hearing of your plans to join me in this great endeavor. And brothers and sisters, remember that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That means it accomplishes much. Your pastor, Nahum 1:7. Now listen, folks. If you can join me in this time of fasting and praying, some of you may not be able to for medical reasons, but maybe you can give up one meal a day. Maybe you can just eat once a day. But some of you can go all the way with me and fast. It's going to be a liquid fast, which means your liquids are permitted. You can drink water. You can drink any liquid. You can even drink chicken broth. No noodles or chicken, but you can drink broth. So, just no solid foods, okay? It's a fast of food. Now, for those of you who are able to join me, please let me know. Either email me, call me, inform me that you're going to join me. And tonight, after tonight's service, I'm calling for a meeting with those who are able to join me. Because I got to go over a few guidelines concerning this fast. We don't want anybody getting sick. We don't want anybody getting too weak, faint, and passing out, okay? So, we're going to meet after church tonight right here. Those of you who can join me, very important. Praise the Lord. Now, back to John chapter 21. And, oh boy, folks, the time is so short. Can't you feel it? The time is so short. We need to be ready for the Lord's coming at any moment now. John chapter 21. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word here in John chapter 21. Beloved, I want to speak to you a message this morning that the Lord's laid on my heart, where I have found the most important question in all the Bible. This question, the answer to it, will determine the fate and eternity of all souls. This is the most important question you'll ever be confronted with, and this is the most important question you can ever ponder. Look with me in John chapter 21. And verse number 1, we read, after these things, that's after Jesus rose from the dead, amen? Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wide showed He Himself. He appears to the 11. And they are, because Judas is dead now. And the 11, Peter says, I go a-fishing. And I say, we go with thee. You know, they're getting off track. And Jesus comes along and puts them back on track. Cooks up a delicious fish sandwich meal for them that would, you know, just taste better than any fish you'll ever taste. You know that, because Jesus made it. And we come down to verse 15. Look with me in verse 15. So, when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Beloved, before we pray, let me ask a question. How many times did Peter deny the Lord Jesus?
3.
Oh yeah, 3. Publicly. And here, Jesus Christ demands an answer to his question three times. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for this message I've entitled, The Supreme Question. The Supreme Question. Lord, I want to thank you for the impact that this question will have upon all souls in eternity future. And Lord, how we thank you for Peter's answer this morning. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Lord, I believe you're calling us by your Holy Spirit today to love you, Lord Jesus, like we've never loved you before. To pull out all the stops and surrender all to Jesus. Lord, the time is so short. I sense the urgency of the hour like never before. And therefore, Lord, we seek thee by prayer and fasting this week. And we seek to love thee like we've never loved thee before, to serve thee like we've never served thee before. Lord, we don't care what any other churches are doing this morning. We seek thee. We seek thy face. We seek thy favor and thy grace, O God. And we seek the salvation of Jesus Christ for those who so desperately need him. Father, we ask you to search our hearts this morning as we preach on this supreme question of questions. And Lord, we'll thank you for all you're going to do. And for those listening around the world by the website, in Jesus Christ's name we pray. The people said, Amen. 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 Please be seated, church. Beloved, this morning, here is the scope and sum of John's gospel. Here is the grand inquiry. The supreme question that God the Son asks personally to every individual that's ever been. This question is not concerning his love to the kingdom of God. It's not concerning his love to the people of God. It's not concerning his love to the church of God. But it's concerning his love to the Son of God. It deals with the personal attachment to a personal Savior. Three times the question is repeated as if it comprised all else. It is the supreme question, beloved, this morning. And for this supreme question of all questions shall undoubtedly determine the eternal state of every living soul and where they will spend eternity. See, all those who know Jesus Christ love him sincerely. You can't know him without loving him. Let me repeat that. You cannot know Jesus Christ and not love him. Now, three things I want to give you this morning concerning this supreme question, and I'll be done. In our text, first of all, notice the solemn question asked. Look with me at verse 15. In verse 15 we read, And so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Look at 16. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? 17. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Oh, beloved, it's a solemn question this morning. And beloved, I'm here to tell you that the answer to this question is the dividing line for all people in this world today. Because all people either love Jesus Christ or they don't. There's no neutral ground in this question. This question was not asked for the Lord's information. He knows everything. But it was for Peter's examination of his own heart. Observe here what this question was. First, it was concerning Peter's love. Jesus did not say, Fearest thou me, Peter? Adorest thou me, Peter? Believest thou me, Peter? No, it's lovest thou me, Peter? Do you love me? This is because if we love Jesus Christ supremely, all other graces will naturally follow. If you love him, you'll fear him. If you love him, you'll serve him. If you love him, you'll obey him. If you love him, you'll follow him. Amen? It all comes down to the question, do I love him? How much do I love him? I've known Christians that love their kids more than Jesus. I've known Christians that love their spouse more than Jesus. I've known Christians that love their job more than Jesus. Say, how is that, Pastor? Because they put those things before him. They count those things more important to them than Jesus. Beloved, listen to me this morning. John said in his final verse in 1 John chapter 5, verse 21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. What's an idol? It's not a statue, though it could be. It's anything that comes between your heart and Jesus Christ.
is an idol.
Anything more important to you than Jesus Christ is an idol, and you need to repent of it and get it out of your life. Amen? Jesus Christ wants to know how much you love Him. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Hold your place in John. In Ephesians chapter 6, this is the question above all questions, beloved. In Ephesians chapter 6, watch what the apostle says here in verse 23. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that what? Love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Paul prays a prayer of grace upon all those who love Jesus Christ supremely. Folks, listen to me. You've got it. You've got His grace. Why? Because you love Him. Paul said, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you love Him, church? Yes, then you've got His grace. That means you can serve Him by His grace. 1 Peter. Flip over to 1 Peter quickly. Chapter 1. I love this verse in 1 Peter chapter 1. Look with me at verse number 7. Verse 7. It says that the trial of your faith is going to be tried. Amen. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye what?
Love.
In whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I love it. Because Peter says here that though you've never seen Him bodily, you love Him with all your heart. You can't help but love Him. Because the Holy Ghost in you constrains you to love Jesus above all else. Amen? And Peter says, though you've not seen Him bodily, you love Him with all your heart. Though you do not see Him yet, you believe and you rejoice with unspeakable joy. It's full of glory. Why? Because I'm in love with Jesus Christ. Amen? Listen to me. Before October 3rd of 1986, Bob Oliver was in love with himself. Bob Oliver lived for me, myself, and I. But when Jesus Christ came into my life, He gave me a life worth living. And He caused me to love Him supremely. I didn't love Him when I first got saved. I got saved because I was afraid of going to hell. But I grew to love Him. And oh, He grows sweeter as the days go by. Amen? Sweeter and sweeter as the day go by, the song says. Glory to God. We love Him. Okay, what this question was, it was concerning Peter's love. Secondly, what this question was not, it was not a question of Peter's works. Listen to me. Jesus did not ask Peter if he was busy soul winning or tithing or teaching Sunday school or supporting missionaries. Listen carefully. Though works do naturally follow saving faith, yet they cannot produce love to Jesus Christ. Hear what I said? Works cannot produce love. Listen, in other words, Jesus is not looking so much at what we do for Him, but He's looking for the motive why we do what we do for Him. Your motive must be love for the Savior. Your motive, you know, I don't know, some Christians, maybe they serve God to get rewards. Maybe they serve God because they're afraid of not serving Him. I don't know. But the motive must be love. We must do what we do based upon our love for Him. Amen? Everything must be based on love. Go with me to Acts chapter 15. In Acts chapter 15, the Apostle Paul, watch this, is departing from a certain area. In Acts chapter 15, what is my motive for what I do? In Acts chapter 15, look with me at verse 25. And we read. In verse 25, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse 26. James says, these men have put their necks on the line. They've risked their lives to preach the gospel. They could have been martyred at any time, and many of them were. Now, why? Why would they do that? Verse 26. Hazarding their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you why. It's because they loved Him supremely. Listen to me. They loved Him more than their life. Woo! That'll preach. You've got to grab hold of that. You've got to get to the point where you love Jesus Christ more than your own life. Then you'll be willing to do anything He asks you to do. Amen? Listen now. There's none other person in the universe, in all of eternity, that is worthy of your love but Jesus Christ. He is the worthy one. Amen? Now, there was a young lad who received the Savior at a mission on a South Sea island whose name was Hupu. He desired to serve the Lord, so he was sent to America for missions training in Bible college. One day, he was in a large crowd of New Yorkers and was being asked many questions about his island. He told them of his poor upbringing and how he was converted to Christianity by the missionary and how he loved the Lord Jesus supremely now. Just then, an atheist began to laugh at the boy. Hupu turned to the infidel and said, "Sir, one day there will be a much larger meeting than this. And when we are then asked, 'Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ?' I think I should be able to say yes. What will you say, sir?" That man could not sleep until he found the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the boy had. You know what that boy had? He had the love of Jesus Christ supremely. And he told that fella, "What will you say at the judgment throne?" The supreme solemn question asked. But secondly this morning, notice the discreet answer given. Back in John chapter 21, I see the discreet answer given. Look at verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." 16, he saith unto him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Thou knowest that I love thee." Now watch this, beloved. Peter appeals to Jesus Christ's omniscience when he asked him the third time if he loved him. Listen, Peter does not say, Lord, yeah, I want to tell you that I love you. He says, "You know that I love you." Folks, listen to me. Peter does not point to his own good works to prove his love to Jesus Christ. He does not point to his own faithfulness or preaching as evidence of his love for Jesus Christ. Beloved, Jesus Christ knows perfectly well those who sincerely love him and those who do not. He knows. He's not asking for his own information. He's asking for Peter's self-examination of his heart. He knows those who are hypocritical. He knows those who are just going through the motions. He knows those who are sincere. This response is recorded for you and me. Listen, "Thou knowest if I love thee, O Lord." Some say, "Lord, my pastor, the deacons, the members, my friends, all think that I love thee, for they often hear me talk about thee. But oh, how many with their secret works do belie their confession. For there is no prayer in secret, no meditation on the scriptures, no private worship of the King, no public witness of him, no practical obedience from the heart. Thou knowest, Lord, that I love thee." He knows how much you love him this morning. And he knows those who don't. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Flip over quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. One of the most frightening verses in the Bible is 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Look with me at verse number 20. Paul writes, "By the Holy Spirit, all the brethren greet you." Greet ye, he's talking to the church of Corinth. greet ye one another with an holy kiss. The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. Notice in verse 22, anathema, maranatha. Anybody know what that means?
Cursed that is coming.
That's correct. Let him be accursed when the Lord cometh. That is a most frightening statement, folks, because it says, look at it, verse 22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be cursed when he comes. Do you know that every person that doesn't love him supremely will be cursed at his coming? Oh, folks, this is a serious message this morning. The supreme question must be asked. Do you love him? Anathema, cursed. Maranatha, when the Lord cometh. Centuries ago, when the heathens would practice their sorcery, their diviners would kill their animal sacrifice in order to prophesy future events for the tribe from the entrails of the sacrifice. And the worst omen they could have was if the priest, after searching into the victim, could not find a heart, or if the heart was small and shriveled. The soothsayers always declared that this was a sure sign of impending doom and calamity. All the signs were evil if the heart was absent or deficient. And indeed, so it is true, beloved, with each individual person. For he that searches us searches our hearts. And thou knowest, O Lord, that I love thee, or if not. O beloved, the discreet answer given, thou knowest. But thirdly, this morning I want you to see the practical demonstration required. Not only the solemn question asked, not only the discreet answer given, but back in John 21, notice the practical demonstration required. Look with me in our text in verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Verse 16. He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. 17. And he said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Beloved, listen carefully. Peter was a preacher. He was called to preach the gospel to the circumcision, right? And he was an apostle. And Jesus said, You really love me? Feed my sheep. You really love me? Do what I've called you to do. You really love me? Make a practical demonstration in your life that you love me. You know what we've got today, folks? We've got a whole bunch of people in the world that are saved. They're born again. Because eternal life is a gift. Lordship salvation is unscriptural. That makes works for salvation. But after you're saved... There needs to be a practical demonstration of that salvation. An outworking in the life of the believer. Demonstrating his love to the Savior by service. Amen? We're not just pew warmers. We want to be knocking on doors and telling people the love of the Savior. Listen carefully. Jesus, in telling Peter to feed the flock, is teaching his disciples that we must be busily doing whatsoever it is that he calls us to do. Look at verse 18. Verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, Peter, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. Now look at here in verse 18. Jesus points to Peter's past life. And he says, you used to go where you wanted to go. You used to do what you wanted to do. But now it's all different. Now you've met me. Now I've given you a mission. And now you must demonstrate your love to me by practical obedience and service to the King. Oh, folks, I'm so glad that when I was young, I went whither I would. And I did what I walked whither so I would and did what I wanted. But now I'm watching according to the King's orders. Now he put me on a new path. Now he's given me a job to do for the kingdom. Isn't that exciting? Oh, beloved, I'm so glad this morning my life has purpose. My life, I get up in the morning, I can't wait to get here because I've got a job to do for Jesus. I love Him and I want to glorify Him. Now listen carefully. This is biblical Christianity in its purity. That we who embrace the salvation of God's Son do indeed accept the appointment, calling, and surrender of our lives to Him. Completely. Amen? Listen, folks, I don't want to be a 30-fold Christian. I don't want to be 60-fold. I want to be 100-fold. How many of you knows? He's right around the corner. The trumpet's about to blow. And the only thing that will matter is, did you love Him supremely? Did you do what He called you to do? This is our privilege as God's believing people and children that we accept the particular area of ministry committed to us. And we choose joyfully to glorify God thereby submissively. The will is involved. Amen? Listen to me. You don't have to serve Him. Did you hear what I said? You don't have to serve Him. You can go your way. You can throw in the towel. You can quit on God. You're still going to heaven. But oh, the misery that you'll bring upon your life. The joy, Jesus said, I lay down my life for the sheep. And He had joy. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. He joyfully, the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, after His passion, it was His passion for you and me to get to know Him. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5 and hold your place. 1 Peter chapter 5. Who wrote 1 Peter? Oh yeah, that'd be Peter. That's not rocket science. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at it. He was a preacher. And he said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 1, the elders, he was an elder, which are among you, I exhort. He's preaching to the preachers, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. He says, all you preachers, you are called to feed the flock of God, over the which He hath appointed you, amen, to feed them. Folks, look at the word in verse 2. But willingly. Oh, Paul said, I do what I do willingly. He says, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel of Christ, for a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Beloved, listen to me. You may not be called to preach. You may not be called to go to China with a missionary, but you have a calling. You have a ministry. You have something God wants you to accomplish before that trumpet blows. And it's so important. But I'm telling you this morning, church, there is no time left. We need to pull out all the stops and give 100% to Jesus Christ. Don't take a backward step. Don't give the devil an inch, he'll take a mile. And don't give in to the flesh. Time is short. And we need to be sanctified and serving the Lord Jesus. In John chapter 14, verse 15, don't turn there. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do you love him? Oh, I'm so glad you love him. Everybody, yeah, yeah, we love him, Pastor. If you love him, keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous like Moses' commandments. You say, what are his commandments? I'm so glad you asked. The whole New Testament. The whole New Testament. The gospel of grace. It all has his commandments. And you know what? John said in John chapter 5, his commandments are not grievous. Amen? Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit within to obey. We have something they didn't have in the Old Testament. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Why, Jesus? Because there must be a practical demonstration of our love to the Savior. Listen to me. Christians who love Jesus Christ the most will accomplish the most in this life. Because your love for Him will drive you. I love how Paul put it in 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Constraineth us. It compels us. Amen. I have to serve Him. I love Him so much. How can I not? Why? Because there must be a practical demonstration of that love. Adoniram Judson, the great missionary, tells of a well-to-do woman who accepted the Savior at one of his meetings, whose name was Karen. At the next meeting, she came forward and offered herself for water baptism. Judson writes, after the usual examination, I noticed her gold necklaces and diamond rings and costly earrings. I inquired whether she was willing to give up her rich ornaments and humbly serve the Master. It was an unexpected blow to her, but after I explained the spirit of the gospel and her need for modesty, she took off all her costly array and ornament, saying, oh, surely, Mr. Judson, sir, I love Jesus Christ much more than these. I love Jesus Christ much more than these. She took them off, man. Amen? Why? Because she loved him. And there must be a practical demonstration of that love. Oh, beloved, I'm so thankful for the solemn question asked. I'm so thankful for the discreet answer given. And I'm so thankful for the practical demonstration of that love in our lives. In closing, let me give you this. Some years ago, the great blind preacher, Dr. Waddle, was conducting tent meetings in Portsmouth, Virginia. A merchant ship came into port, of which the captain and two of the crew were Christians. Hearing that a blind preacher was to hold services that night, they eagerly made their way to the tent. Dr. Waddle was preaching that night on these words of Christ to Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Towards the close of his message, the preacher passionately called out to the audience repeatedly, who of you can say with Peter, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee? There was a silence in the tent. Until one of the crewmen, whose heart was so full of the love of Christ, could not contain himself any longer. He jumped to his feet and exclaimed loudly, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. The entire assembly was moved to tears as a great altar call ensued, and many came forward to surrender to the Lord. Why? Because that one sailor loved the Lord Jesus, and he said, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Folks, here's my message this morning. The supreme question. It's the supreme question. I know you're in church this morning because you love Him. But let me ask you a question. Is there room for growth in that love of yours for Him? Oh, yeah. There's room in our hearts for growth in our love to Him. And I'm so thankful this morning that by His grace and by His Holy Spirit, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Amen? Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for this supreme question. Lovest thou me more than these? And Lord, I'm so thankful that we can put our own name in there instead of Peter's and hear your voice calling out, lovest thou me more than these? Lord, whatever it might be, whatever it might be in our hearts or lives that are coming before thee, let us repent of that at this time of invitation. Let us cast it away as filthy rags, and love Jesus Christ supremely till He comes. Lord, there is nothing more important than this. This is the most important question in the Bible. Do you love Jesus Christ? It all hinges on the answer to that question. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals this morning for a time of invitation. And I'd ask you to open up to 164. We'll stand. Most of you won't even need a hymnal for this amazing song. 164. Make that 84. 84. So sorry. words of this song says it all concerning the message. Hymn 84, we'll sing the first, second, and the fourth.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
Amen. Folks, we're at the altar. Father in heaven, how we thank you for this time of invitation, and how we thank you for the words of this hymn. It says, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, it is now. Lord, I am so thankful that we can love you like we've never loved you before as we see the day approaching. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, by an uplifted hand, you'd say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to love Jesus more. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Hands are up all over. Put them down. Put them down. Father in heaven, thank you for these uplifted hands this morning. And I know that they love you, Lord. Just for putting their hands up shows they love you, because they want to love you more. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for a church full of Christians that love Jesus Christ supremely, and they desire to love you even more. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, by your Holy Spirit within us, you would increase our heart's love for the Savior to the point, Lord Jesus, where we will not say no to anything you call us to do. But Lord, because of the great love wherewith thou hast loved us, we reciprocate that love and we answer your call. And through practical demonstration in our lives, we show the world that we love Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing it on the second. Praise the Lord.
Thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thrones on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, it's now.
For
mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright.
Indeed, church, a word of prayer in closing. Father, thank you this morning that as we embark upon this 7-day fast where we will seek your face like never before, that we may win souls to Jesus Christ first. Secondly, that you will bring revival upon America. Third, that you would keep us obedient and faithful to the cause of the gospel. We thank you, Lord, that we enter this time of prayer and fasting, loving you more than we've ever loved you. And Lord, I thank you that by the indwelling power of the Spirit of God, we can love you even more. Lord, thank you for capturing our hearts through grace. Thank you for indwelling your Holy Spirit within us. Thank you for empowering us by the gospel to serve you. But above all else, we thank you for the great love wherewith you loved us. Lord, the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. Oh, what a blessing to know the joyful sound this morning. And I thank you, Lord, for your great love. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, the people said, Amen.